again. We're back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health and feeling all right in this lunatic asylum. Format is simple. I do say this, but I do still get emails. Format is simple. We will try to release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one. Generally, it's an hour plus. We do about 2.5 hours, 3 to 3 hours generally. All shows are released on Saturdays. So even if you don't get an email, they're always there on a Saturday. End of. Podcasts are always on, full podcasts are always on sheepfarm.co.uk. If you want to be a member, it's £2 a month. If you don't, that's no problem. You get the first part, which is normally an hour plus, an hour and a half, something like that. And that goes out on sheepfarm.co.uk or on Podomatic. That send them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google Podcast, and Dapple if you're from Yorkshire. That's near Egypt. Please subscribe to the website so you do get email notifications to the shows. Don't cost you anything. Just costs us. That's no problem, though. We love it. Thanks for the comments, emails, and DMs now to Instagram. And Chris said, what's a DM last
what's
time?
A DM?
Thought they were Doc Martens, but he's 18-olers with his roll-ups running around with National Front in early 80s. He's Harrington on. Thanks for everybody who orders vitamin C powder on me vitamins. Promo code is in the description. I still get people asking me where promo code is, and it's there in capital letters in the description. If you want to buy from me, use the promo code when you're ordering. Yeah, that's easy enough, isn't it? I'm sure it is. Also, it's only available on Health Bunker products, which it does say in the description. It's not available on the SOS and the Alternate Lipsomal, and they're not my products. And the margin is shite, so I just sell them just to help people who don't really earn a lot on them, to be honest with you. What else? Rich Planet link. I keep forgetting to mention it. I put the Rich Planet link in the show notes. So if you want to help Richard with his legal case, me and Chris have helped him. It'd be good to help him. He's done a lot over the last 10 to 15 years. He certainly helped me. I know a lot of people say our show helped them over the last 4 years, but his show helped me when I was struggling with my illness over 10 years. He was somebody I could listen to know that I weren't going off my trolley, if you like. And so if you can help him, that's great. And that's it, really. With me as usual, probably going to open his bottle of witch piss. Is that Chris?
Good evening.
Good evening.
You knobhead.
Thank you. Thank you. Trying to build my confidence up.
Yeah.
It's like, when I piss out of him for being a sensitive arty fart, he calls me fatty. Don't do it, you know, for some reason it doesn't affect me at all. Just get on with life, you know.
I just say fatty is like a nickname. You go, CUNT with a lot of abuse followed behind it. So there is a bit of a difference, I think. Mm.
Unless you've got a really bad conscience about your size and weight or something like that, and maybe it has an effect on you. So you go and eat 2 stone of chocolate afterwards and to drown your sorrows, or drink 5 cans of Tizer or something like that. Fortunately, I don't do that, but I could do if I was a sensitive type like yourself. Possibly.
Yeah. I think every younger sibling out there knows.
Every younger sibling out there knows.
Dealing with a knobhead older sibling.
Every older sibling out there knows.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Let's just face facts. We're all annoying bastards.
Yeah.
That's the fact, isn't it, really? That's how it goes, isn't it? We were just talking off air there about films and video games, because you've been saying for a while that video games are probably more influential. I'd say they're as influential as music, to be honest with you.
I think they're more aimed now at younger end. And what I find interesting about it is it turns over billions, but there's no... I mean, the Oscars were on TV the other night, weren't they? Mm. I'm pretty sure no one watches it anymore.
Cillian Shark Eyes won it, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so, yeah.
For Oppenheimer.
For the rewriting of history,
Nuclear bomb propaganda film.
Communist as a hero.
Is he a communist? I don't know anything about
him. He was a communist, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I know nothing about him.
Full-on communist.
Right.
Yeah. Why didn't he get... he's got German heritage.
Right, why not?
Building an atomic bomb during World War II. And it's called Oppenheimer, which is one of the biggest banking diamond dynasties in the world, if he's part of that.
Do you know what? I know nothing about him. Yeah, all the Oppenheimers.
They all come from Frankfurt, which is... Anyway, I won't get into it, but I've done a lot of research on that. I'm going to release it, actually. But it's just time. Where I've logged all...
But that's clearly... That was
came from that one area.
Clearly a propaganda film brought out just in time, coincidentally, when Russia possibly threatening World War III, nuclear bomb, etc., etc. And that film just came out in time to re-scare the shit out of everybody.
Do you mean CIA, Hollywood, Lookout Mountain... etc.
Yeah,
funded when they're funding propaganda films in World War II. This is all different now. This is just a private venture.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the reasons I looked very, very briefly at, and it was just before we came on, video games, because I was playing. I do play video games. I was only very. I mean, I play.
Sad old bastard.
Yeah, 50-year-old. Takes me about a year to finish one.
51 now.
I play anyway, I was playing that Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Right. Which we talked to Matt Devlin's mate about that time, if you remember.
Matt Sergio?
No, not Matt Sergio, the other fella who was on Just Once with us.
Oh, from the Northeast.
Yeah. And
Nathan,
that's right.
Yeah. Hello, Nathan, if you're listening.
Hi, Nathan. So I started playing Valhalla, and I noticed in it, and I've noticed this in a few games lately, it's not the fact that they bring the LGBTQ movement into it. I mean, it's full of this new game. It's a good game, don't get me wrong, but you can see the programming in it. It's full of, you know, strong women. I'm sure there were strong Viking women, by the way. I'm not disputing that. But literally, you play a bit and the
sturdy,
guy
Chris,
offers
sturdy.
You on for
sturdy
you
women.
On for gay sex, basically. Yes, yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, literally, you know, this wedding and he offers, basically offers you on and you can...
With an axe in his hand.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean...
Would you like to sit on my Excalibur?
But it just got me. I've said to you for ages that I think the video game. I think that's why there's no Oscars for it because it's kept. Yeah. It's kept. And everyone knows.
What sort of weapons did you have? A fisting chair.
Everyone knows. Kids play loads of video games, especially boys. They get hooked on them quite easy, don't they?
Yes.
And they're trapped away playing them in the bedrooms, wherever. No wrong with that. I've done that. But. The programming must be there, mustn't it? There must be you utilizing.
Well, one thing is, Chris, right? It's strange because when Xbox came out in the early 2000s, game changing. All right, excuse the pun, but it was game changing for video gaming, wasn't it? Because for the first time, people could play online. I know I were playing. The only game I've really played is Halo, and I haven't played really. First one I played it, and then after that I haven't played it much after that. But my mate who I used to play with, he was. Big Andy, if you remember him.
Yeah.
He was playing it, and the guys he played with, it was the first time I'd noticed before, this was before Face Crook and everything else came out, like mid-2000s. He was playing with these lads who were up and down country on Halo. Yeah. I think it was Halo 2 when that came out. And he used to call them Britneys, because we used to tell him we're grooming them, but they're all his age, but he was grooming them. So he used to call them Brit. I said, who are you playing with today? He said, Brittany. And they're all lads like. And they all used to meet up, though. They all used to get together and meet up and go out for a curry.
Yeah.
So he'd go down there and see them all.
There is a good social aspect to video games, but you can't help but notice that. I mean, I was playing, playing Mario Kart with my nipper. I might have mentioned this before, and there's big banners all around it saying MKTV, Mario Kart TV. I thought that was very suspect to start with. But
nobody's just a plumber.
Well, mine is. But I had a quick look, right? The video game industry, I mean, there's a lot of different numbers. It said $396 billion, right? It took $265 billion in 2019, $406 billion in 2023. And they've predicted 2029. Guess how much for 2029 they reckon it'll be taking? $666 billion.
Wow. Do you know Grand Theft Auto 5, right, has sold over 195 million units worldwide?
And how much did at least 50 quid a pop. Well, it's probably less now, but it was.
195 million.
But it's almost like, why is it a hidden secret, though, that, you know, these games come out and they cost, I mean, they've already previewed Grand Theft Auto 6, right?
Yeah.
Come out in 2025 or 26, I'm not sure. And it'll be 60, 70 quid a pop and they'll sell that number again, if not more. Because you've got to remember...
Global sales of it all, that was just last year, by the way, that 195 million. Oh, no. As of 24, Grand Theft Auto, yeah. The total sales are like 405 million. The full GTA series. Half a billion sales.
Because you've got to remember as well, you've got crusties like me. I mean, I always liked video games when I was a kid. Mm. And I've continued to play them. Obviously, not like I used to, but sporadically, I'll put it on for an hour or whatever. But I still play them. I still talk to the kids at work about it, about video games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've got another. They've got, but the younger generation are totally hooked on them. I mean, they've still got the old first generation still playing them, like me. You know, the generation of gamers.
We mentioned like some of these companies, but didn't that, we? Rockstar.
That trounces fighter, the film industry, by loads.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys that invented Rockstar. The Hauser brothers, I think they're called. I have done a bit on them, actually. I mean, they're individually, although it sounds like a lot of money to everybody, like I think they're worth something like $100 million or something like that. I think they're from Scotland.
Really?
I think so. I think if I remember right.
Well, I think you might be right, yeah. I
think they're from Scotland. There were a few of them. Am I right? Oh, no, it's from London. They're from London.
Yeah, but you would imagine they're American.
I might be getting the game mixed up. But they did all like the Max Payne and stuff like that, did Rockstar.
Yeah, that's right.
And, yeah, they're owned by that massive organisation now, BMG. And BMG, or Bertelsmann, they were the marketing arm for the German Nazi Party.
Right.
Bertelsmann. And we've mentioned them a few times because they own a lot of book companies and stuff like that as well. So it's, again, it's not the company like Rockstar that have the successful peasants that make $100 million for argument's sake. They're the front guys, right? They're not going to ruin it for themselves, are they? They're going to still keep doing this, all this virtue signaling computer gaming.
Well, also,
but the companies behind them that control them, like the music industry is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
They're the ones, you know, these guys are like, I don't know, Elon Musk out there. Of gaming, if you like, where they're just the front people, aren't they?
The programmers and that, they'll just be normal Joes, won't they, making these games. And they'll be told, you know, we'll put a bit more diversity into that game, put a bit of this in that game. I mean, the first Grand Theft Auto, I remember it coming out on PS2 or 1, 2, I think.
Yeah.
And it were groundbreaking because it was the first open world game where you could just do what you wanted.
But again, what did they utilize in that game?
The music.
The famous part of that game was the fact that you had an 80s
radio station.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I remember my eldest playing it, and
Vice City.
It had Miami Vice stuff on, didn't it?
Yeah. All of it. It was done like Scarface and everything in it.
And I keep saying that life's a bit like Grand Theft Auto, where you can get in a car, try and rob it, and you get away with it because it's a little old lady, or you get in a car and it's some hoodlum who shoots you.
Well, I think
that is what happens, isn't it?
Well, it's because of these games. I think that the simulation theory has grown a lot of popularity, to be honest with you. Because people look, I mean, for years, you look at these games and you think, how far are we away when you're strapped into one of those headsets that you're just gone? You're in another place. One thing I did find interesting about that that Valhalla game, you do go to Valhalla. So you're in a game. The story of Assassin's Creed is you're in a suit and you're going into the past. I don't know if you know this.
No, I don't know.
And you're tapping into like some guy from the past DNA kind of thing.
Right.
So you're playing that character out in the past. But then in the game, you go to Valhalla. So you've got that three-tier simulation system there, aren't you? You're going back in time. Yeah. I'm playing it, look at it like this. I'm playing a video game where in the video game, they're going back in time inside a console. And then within that world, they're going to Valhalla, which is another world. So there's four worlds involved in this silly little game, if you like. Do you know what I mean? It's not the million miles of simulation theory, is it?
Valhalla were in Mad Max as well, especially the last one. They were talking about Valhalla in that one.
Is that where they spread their eyes? And they went, wah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a similar thing, isn't it? That's what the Vikings were supposed to have done. Valhalla, because they believed they went into battle. Someone had convinced them that if they went into battle and died in battle, they'd go to Valhalla. I mean, genius, really, just to get people to fight.
One guy who makes a lot of money out of video games is Vin Diesel.
All right. What? Voiceovers?
Voiceovers, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
He made, apparently, well, if I'm right here, don't quote me, but he made as much money out of video gaming than he has out of acting, or a lot of his money.
Because the if you think about it, the fact that the gaming industry is worth 10, I don't know, 10, I looked at 10 billion, I think, or was it about, well, it's worth at least 10 times more than the film industry. So it would make more.
Right.
It's like I was saying to you the other day about animation. A lot of people's biggest films, if you look at the films that made them the most money, is animation. Like, for instance, Samuel L. Jackson, who's in everything. I think one of the times I looked, one of his highest grossing films were Incredibles 2 or Eddie Murphy's is Shrek 3 or whatever. Because, you know, kids' films at the cinema in the summer holidays make the real money. And I've always said to you, I think that they give them to certain actors as like a little golden handshake, you know, and it's probably the same with video games. Mm-hmm. I know I heard Gary Oldman saying that he's been in all these films, but his kids were more proud of him because he were in bloody, Call of Duty or something, playing a Russian.
Right.
But his kids have got more notoriety from people for that than he did in every film he's ever been.
But it just shows you how many people play games, doesn't it?
That's what I'm trying to say.
It shows that...
It's almost a hidden industry. Not hidden, because it's out there, but it's not... You don't... What I mean is you can watch... I could turn TV on now, right, and news would be on, and they'd be talking about Strictly Come Dancing on fucking Ice or whatever. Mm. But they never mention video games in news, do they?
No.
It's got this multi-billion, but
look what goes with it as well, though, Chris. Right? Look, if you look at all the equipment that goes with it, for one, right?
So all the hardware. Yeah.
But they're plugged into Bluetooth headsets mainly, as well. So they're using Wi-Fi and all the other stuff that goes with it. But all the equipment that goes with it. But if you think about it, it's breeding loners, isn't it? Because you're alone on your computer, talking to someone else on another computer. So you, from a young age, you're automatically getting bread, if you like, that you don't have to go out of your living room.
Yeah, it's been going on a while. Yeah.
You learn nothing and be happy. It's programming, isn't it?
Of course it is. I said in one of others, Harari, he said that, what are we going to give people to do if there's nothing for them to work because of automation? And he said more video games and more drugs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that last Huxley one, Julian Huxley had already said that in the give them more dope and more films, didn't he?
We're already halfway there. We're right there now.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep struggling with the VR headset, don't they? But I think that's possibly on purpose, you know.
Well, I think they're starting to push it again now.
I think Apple have brought one out, haven't they?
Yeah. They're starting to push it. They're showing people walking like dogs down road, robot dogs with a VR headset on.
But again,
sat in a pub and two people have got VR headsets on. I saw this meme and it said, two people with no mobile phones having a quiet drink together. They've both got VR headsets on.
Well, the only difference is from being on the phone fight. They've got all the shit around on the screens. Yeah. So it's like NASA were doing like 10 years ago, where they, you know, it's got real life and it's got the digital stuff around it. So you can look at your bloody Instagram while you're.
But it's Total Recall, isn't it? Because what's going to happen is you're going to get shown this VR headset, and there'll be no EasyJet, no Ryanair, nothing. You mean your 15-minute city, you put your VR headset on, but you'll be in Barbados.
Yeah.
It's quite sad, isn't it, thought that?
Well, and then the next stage is it's neural-linked into your head. So you'll get the emotions and feelings as well.
Yeah. And also what it's teaching is people are wired up into the bedroom, and now you're getting the next sort of gens of people that have been used to playing. Like, say, you're somebody who just plays it every now and again, but these gamers who've played it in the 2010s, for instance, when they get into their 30s, they'll still be gaming because it's part of their job.
Mm.
They're gaming influencers, it's an important part of life, isn't it now? Being an influencer and being a gamer and being a YouTuber is like being a coal miner or a mechanic, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it can be, can it? Yeah. I spoke to one young lad at work. I can't remember how many hours he said he played this one game for. Anyway, I worked it out that it was a full-time job for a year, like 8 hours a day for a year.
And now you know what 2020 was, don't you?
In a year, yeah. Well, yeah. Look at the concentration of that, like from it were already, you know, people were hooked on it, but to like full-on 24/7.
Well, I mean, the mind control was... Go online, Zoom blew up. All these things blew up online, didn't they? Mm. I'd never even heard of fucking Zoom, right?
No, I didn't. Now we use it.
Now all these online things just happen to go online, like Restream that we're using at minute, all these live things on YouTube, just as they're fitting out 5G fiber optics, so there's more power to do it.
Well, also just as everyone were not going anywhere so much.
Yeah.
all these food just a delivery coincidence, companies really, came out as well, Uber and Uber Eats and all that crap.
Yeah, but it's certainly be a dig worth a dig round the people behind some of these gaming companies, and I look into it at some point. We have spoke about doing that. It's just time again, but it's not necessarily the people inventing them. It's the people funding them, like BMG Interactive. I know BMG, Matt, I'm sure Matt Sergio and Mark were talking about those guys in one of the ones we did about the Second Summer of Love. That's one of the massive publishing companies. So they're publishing books, music, games. So they've all got royalties on them. And also, if you think about a game in comparison to a film with having proper human beings in and an animation film, that one's costs a fortune, the ones with human beings and filming them and going to locations and stuff. Animation is probably costs quite a lot as well, but not as much as filming.
Yeah.
And then gaming probably costs a minuscule amount in comparison.
I don't think it does anymore, to be honest with you.
I'm trying to say is it don't cost £100 million to like it could, in a high-end action movie, cost $100 million to make.
I think it might, to be honest, though. Because they make them for 3 or 4 years now, you see. My guy I work with, they might be, I don't know, don't quote me on that. But I think we might be surprised how much they do cost these days, like a GTA 5 kind of game. But also there's a massive, you've got really cheap games. You've got ones that people make themselves, right up to the multi big ones like GTA 5.
It costs $265 million.
What, GTA 5?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
I'm surprised it's that. Well, as well, they keep developing them as well, don't they? They bring out new stuff for them as well. But I'm surprised I thought it would be more than that, to be honest with you, if I'm honest. But you're right then, it's cheap comparison to filmmaking.
Yeah. I'll find out how much money they've sold. I know we said they sold 195 million units, but I mean, I don't know how much that is in cash.
195 million. Well, if you say 40 quid a pop.
That's in
total. They have all the extras as well.
2015 to 2024.
It's been out that long. I mean, they have all the extras as well these days where you can buy things while you're in the game, which again is leading to the future anyway. You buy digital stuff that isn't real, but you're paying for it. I suppose we're doing that now with music and films, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn nothing and be happy, etc.
Yeah. How much does it cost to get GTA 5?
Well, it'll be cheap now because it's old, probably 20 quid, yeah. But when they come out new, it'll be 60, 70 quid.
GTA 5 has generated close to $8 billion.
Bloody hell, out of 260 million.
Yeah, that's some return, isn't it?
It's some serious return. And it's still going up to now. It's literally, the people still waiting for GTA 6. They've been playing it for, God, what was it, 10 years? Mad.
Yeah, 10 years, and it's made $8 billion in nine years. So they don't even have to make a new one. It's
still generating.
That's like having, cars, they change and update them every 3 years. You know, they've done nothing to this thing. Yeah. Not updates will be online, so it'll be a doddle, won't it? And you probably pay for upgrades as well.
Yeah, well, the online purchases. Yeah, that's what a lot of games are going. That's why a lot of games are free now, facts, because the online purchasing.
Yeah. Anyway, just a few emails on from the last show. Somebody's wrote, "I Don and Chris." People call me Don still. I suppose it could be worse, but
it could be worse.
Unless it's a misspelling.
Donna.
Donna. People used to spell it Dominiqua with a Q-U-E end. That Dominique off Dynasty was somebody off one of them things. I never watched Dynasty, but somebody used to call me it. So
right,
I think they were funny. But anyway, probably were funny, better than fatty. Anyway, which destroyed my confidence. Anyway. while listening to your podcast, Umbongo must have a problem with an M. Maybe that's what it was. Umbongo, not Umbongo. But I heard you talk about, and this is his words, Rat Boy Saunders. Or Sanders. I didn't realise the fact that he had changed so much on his point of view until Friday, where I found his podcast, Someday I Call It Conspiracy. Listening to what he had to say and made me back up a bit. I met Neil and his girlfriend at one of the AV conferences. That's the alternative voice that Ian Crane used to and Brian Goresh used to run. I think they're still up and running them. At the time, I was reading his mind control books. Yeah, I read his first one. It was very good. He came across as a really good lad and knew what he was talking about. The reason I bought his book was from seeing him on Rich Planet in the early days, so did I. Couldn't believe what he was saying. As you guys mentioned, he now rebukes conspiracy theories. He was one of the first I recall talking about Jeffrey Epstein. The work he'd done on MKUltra was very good, and the information he put out there about drug smuggling during Vietnam, using dead GI bodies, which involved Puff Daddy's father. Mark were on about Puff Daddy in his latest podcast, wasn't he? That chap from America, what's it called? Infinite Fringe.
Yeah.
I forget his name now.
I listened to it as well.
You should listen to that. You like that. The way he's thrown the likes of Richard Dale, David Icke and Richie Allen under the bus is very low, considering David and Richard had him on their shows and their sites, as in selling his books. It's very hard to know what we all know and go back to a normal way of thinking after your eyes have been opened. Yeah, well, that was a question, wasn't it? How do you actually go back? We can all look back and think, oh, I probably got that a bit wrong. But that don't mean to say you're just going to say we're not being used or utilised.
Yeah, but it's a bit different to him because he was in it for years and written two books about it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. While I write this email, I'm listening to Mariana Spring. Look at you. which is sickening and sad. I don't know what's changed his mind, but I do see someone who has an axe to grind. Which is quite interesting that. I don't know who's annoyed him because I never heard anybody talking about him or saying he were a bad guy or what have you. I don't hear him say this guy upset me or that person upset me. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting, very interesting to know what happened. Another email, we talked about George Galloway in that last one. And I don't know anything about really politics. I've looked into politicians, but only as individuals. I'm not really into politics, neither is Chris. We don't really look at politics.
It's bollocks.
It's bollocks. So that's why it gave me a good... I was unopinionated on these people because I don't think there's anything on any of them.
I don't think there's this sounds silly, there's no such thing as politics. It's just agendas getting pushed. That's all that happens. And you've got two sides doing a fake battle to push the same agenda, basically.
Yeah. And when you get somebody like Galloway, who has won constituencies, been voted in several times on a ticket on his own, like an independent ticket, like once in Bradford, I think, once in somewhere in Birmingham or somewhere, or down south, and then now in Rochdale. So this isn't anything new, what he's done there. Even I know that. All he ever talks about is, and I'm not saying it's not ideal, it's like Israel against Palestine. That is it, and the Iraq war. He's got... So anyway, we questioned the one, I never heard him mention anything about the COVID nonsense, the 2020 nonsense. And this person here, I presume is a chap, said before COVID, he was a very good friend and regular guest on the Sunday Wire with Patrick Hennison. I like Patrick Hennison. I think he's got a good point of view, especially the conflict in Syria. But as soon as Patrick started pushing back against the 2020 pandemic nonsense, Galloway dropped him like a hot potato and blocked him on Twitter, I think. So that he says he thinks he blocked him on Twitter and viciously attacked him on social media for his anti-vax views.
All right. There you go.
So that's Galloway. It's a bit like RFK. I remember about 4 years ago when we did that podcast and I went through like his background, family background, his bloodlines and stuff like that. And the fact that his uncle's, his name means basically shot in the head or a head wound or something like that. And both his dad and his uncle got shot in the head. and his stance on anti-jabs, which I can't say I disagree with any of it, but then he's pro-climate change. His son or his daughter, anyway, one of them married a CIA agent.
And he's pro-Israel as well.
And now he's pro-Israel.
Let's say anti-Palestine, not pro-Israel.
No, he's pro-Israel. He's definitely pro-Israel. So are his brothers. So are his,
using different terminology.
Yeah, well, whichever way you want to say it, yeah, you're right. We're right, yeah. But yeah, apparently this...
this person lives in Romania. I think it's Romania. And it says population rates and how to tackle birth rates. I live in Hungary, that's it, for a long time. For nearly 15 years. Anyway, about 5 years ago, the government here started to give massive tax breaks, loans, and subsidies to married parents to have more kids. Right. And guess what? You can't move for prams now. Seriously, population rate has massively shot up. And there's almost zero immigration here.
Imagine that, massive tax breaks to have more kids.
Yeah. He goes on about Turncoat Sanders. He says he's been a friend with Neil on Facebook for 10 plus years, read his books, etc. I'd say that over the last 3 to 4 years, his direction has noticeably changed. But what's more interesting is how aggressive and rude he is now in his comment section, especially when tackling the subject of Richard D. Hall, and how his views are almost anti-awake, pro-woke, leftist leaning, dare I say it, distinctly anti-Trumpish. Not that I'm pro or anti. He developed the Operation Warp Speed to get jabs in to poison people in America. Mm. Yeah, he said it's really strange to see it in real time. Very odd behaviour. And I agree. I can't agree anymore with any of them points, to be honest with you, but what you brought up there. And the last one, I just thought I'd bring a few of these in just to let you know we do read some of them. In fact, I read most of them, all of them, unless they're emails from... like spam. Just listen to your latest podcast. I've got to a bit where you mentioned Ian Hazelop. It reminded me of some research I did when I first got wind of Pizzagate. Now, I haven't looked into Pizzagate. It's something I'm not going to look into. I've said it's one thing that I don't want to go down that rabbit hole and start looking into that type of stuff, because I don't think you can come out of it when you get in there. I remember watching Fox News try to play the whole thing down and make James Alifantis, I've probably destroyed that name, into some kind of martyr. Anyway, the guy who visited Comet Ping Pong, I presume that's the pizza place, and interviewed Alifantis, was none other than Ian Hazelop.
How odd. Yeah, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said to you earlier, I never trust that private eye. It's in WH Smith's, and it's presented like it's kind of, it's still on like...
a grown-up viz.
Yeah, but it's on like newspaper, so it looks cheaply produced, you know, like it's been done out of someone's garage. And like I say, he's always getting sued, but it's
what do they call him in university rag things? What
they, exactly. It looks like one of them. Yeah, it looks like one of them. Like,
well, he used to write a university rag when I did that sort of. He wasn't even that much background on him, but when I did that background on him, he was like an editor for a Cambridge University or whatever university he went to, where he's lop.
Right.
Eamon is the guy that does all the drawings, so they're partners. Right. As in, he's the artist and he's the cartoonist and Hazelop's the editor or whatever. Anyway,
but I used to think it was really edgy, Private Eye, when I was younger. You know,
it's very edgy.
And, like, if I've got news for you, you thought that were edgy because they're taking a piss out of politicians, but it's not even skimming
until Boris Johnson hosted it.
Yeah, it's not even skimming the scum off the surface, is it?
But, well, I always found it odd because you had Angus Deaton on there. It was funny, Angus Deaton, right? Paul Merton, who was funny. Then he had Ian Hazelop, who owned a company on BBC, which is basically promoting Private Eye. I never understood how that worked, because I always thought on BBC you're not meant to be corporate. You couldn't be public. You know, it didn't even have to mention his business, because everyone knew he owned Private Eye. So every time he came on, it were an advert.
Yeah, and every time we were on, he was saying that we were getting sued by someone, but how many times can you get sued and still be running?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I know. Well, his insurance must be sky high, his payments for his insurance, if he gets sued all them times.
Yeah, it's bullshit, isn't it?
But you're on the BBC, which is the government's basically propaganda arm, and you're allowed to go on there and you own a magazine that's on the shelves of every major news outlet, that's still being sold. I don't know what the circulation is, but so you're part of that game, aren't you? As far as I'm concerned,
100%.
You're accepted in that club, just like Top at Pops are selling records and BBC Radio selling music.
So, and they play the same songs over and over again. They've definitely got some financial interest in which songs they play, And I often think with music, it's for longevity as well, isn't it? You think back to when Cher brought that song out. I don't know why I think about that. I always think about that because I heard it on the radio when I was thinking about this kind of stuff. You know, that when you bleed, and it was the first one to use that vocoder.
Yeah.
Was it the when you bleed and after?
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible.
But yeah. I remember seeing that on Top of Pops at the time when I was a kid, thinking, "Why Cher? Why did drag Cher out to do this song?" But then flash forward 30, 40 years, whatever, long ever it came out, I can't remember. And you hear it on radio again, and you think every time that's on radio, someone's getting paid.
Yes.
So Cher,
and somebody's getting spelled.
Cher, get your sorry ass out and sing this song, and it'll be raking you in a few million for the next 20 odd 30 years.
Yeah. I think one of the ones I've seen, for some reason, every time I go into YouTube, if I want to download some things from my Matrix videos, Sophie Ellis Bextor keeps coming up, Murder on the Dance Floor. Yeah. I'm thinking, was that really the peak of songwriting?
Yeah.
20 odd years ago, it's now making a comeback.
Yeah.
To the point. Is that really? I mean, you think about music now. We were talking about what's it called, Taylor Swift. You've been going on for years. My wife didn't know this, by the way, that you think she's a bloke. And my wife said to me, she watched that Netflix thing. She said, "I've paused it here because I want you to watch this. Tell me what you think when she's walking down this towards this stage." And anyway, I knew what she was going to say. I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" She went, "She looks like a tranny."
I showed Lou one of, and I don't know what it was. I might have watched the beginning of a net.
You like when a bloke puts high heels on and can't walk properly?
Yeah.
That's what she looked like.
Yeah. I saw, if you...
Not that I've tried it.
If you want to take someone who's been chosen and put into that position and got it, you couldn't get anyone more obvious than that. I mean, even when, who is it? What's his name? What's he called? Who called her out for having the worst video and it was all a big hoo-ha. Kanye West. I'd never heard of it before he did that. So, I mean...
No. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but he's had some kind of programming going on there, haven't there, with him?
Oh, really, Fatty? I wouldn't have said.
Yeah, I know.
That poor fucker hasn't got a brain cell left.
No, he's been fried, hasn't he? I mean, he's been living with Witches of Eastwick for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Big ass, Witches of Eastwick. Asses like cauldrons.
Who watches that show?
I don't know.
Why the fuck? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I mean, the amount of social programming revolving around them, including the dad, 6'4" tranny, getting Woman of the Year and all that crap, who's now vanished for some reason.
But, yeah.
And then you got the Kanye West thing, and it's not even worth thinking about.
Yeah. Well, the irony is that guy there, that what we call Bruce, whatever he was called, that turned into Bruce Ella, he was worth like $200 million, something ridiculous.
Right.
He was obviously an Olympic athlete, but he did something in sports. He set up some sports businesses up and made fortunes out of it. So she married him because she was married to that lawyer who represented O.J. Simpson, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Kardashian was a lawyer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He won at representatives of O.J. Simpson. And she married him after they divorced, or he passed away, I think, the Kardashian guy. And so they basically used his brass.
To become a coven of witches.
Yeah. For what? What's the talent?
I don't know.
I don't... You know, they're going about style. And all they do is buy someone else's product, put it on, and say they look style. I don't understand it. There's no relevance to anything to it.
Again, they're in the news slots all the time, aren't they? They're there for a reason, aren't they?
Well, not only that.
I think they literally are witches.
Let's just say they were one of them, right? Let's just say, what's she called? Kim Kardashian, the oldest one. Let's just say her. Let's just say she were famous. Why would all the other ones be famous? what relevance have the other ones got to one talented?
Well, the horrible thing is that youngsters aspire to these witches coven, don't they?
Yeah.
That's a frightening thing. I think I've watched one episode of that show and I can't remember why. and it was like she dropped a bangle in some water and just spent the whole thing screaming. Like, it was a diamond one, to be fair.
Well,
but spent the whole thing was about her screaming and...
I'm sure she didn't sit on it.
About looking for a bangle or a ring or an earring or whatever it was. I just thought, you got all that brass and you just... screaming and shouting.
Well, everything's about drama, isn't it? The whole thing's about drama. Yeah. Mrs. had something on Netflix about Stallone. Stallone's doing a Netflix series.
Right, like that kind of thing.
Well, it's similar. It's like Ozzy Osbourne's, but a little bit, you know what I mean? Why do you... I don't understand why you need to do that with these... I'm sure his family's lovely and all that type of stuff. His brother Frank were on it. I mean, I was watching this while Mrs. was watching it.
And musician, he wrote all the Rocky music.
If he wrote all that music, he's a talented guy, you know. Yeah. I think he had problems with drinking. Yeah, he had a few problems with drinking drugs, didn't he, Frank? But they've both got massive hair. They've got hair pieces on, right? Their hairline is just above.
Yeah.
Their hairline is just above their eyebrows, right? And like John Travolta, right? All of a sudden, he's bald from having an hairline like that just above his eyebrows. And all of a sudden, he's bald. I wonder how many of these...
An airline like a Neanderthal.
Yeah, he did. An airline like a Neanderthal. Yeah.
I think Travolta just gave up, didn't he?
I don't know. His head's sweating too much with that bloody rug on.
Yeah.
Glued to his head. Anyway, before I get any ideas of having a rug glued to my head...
when you were watching that show, I bet you were Googling air implants, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I actually like my bald head. There's nothing that pleases me more than taking piss out of somebody who's got hair and say, you're going a bit thin, aren't you? It's amazing how many people, right, because you're bald, want to try and say, it's because you're bald, like they're having an attack on you. And I think, well, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care.
No. Well, I've had the same receding hairline for 10 years. I don't care.
No, yeah, I know.
You're Black Nicholson.
Big nostril Ray Reardon. Have you seen that monolith that's appeared in Wales? Grabclaw's just sent me over before we came on.
That new one? Because they appeared in America, didn't they, a few years ago?
Mysterious monolith appears in Wales, prompting yet more conspiracy theories.
More
yeah, because, I mean, silver monoliths appear for no reason. Why wouldn't anybody talk about it? I think they're just inventing conspiracy theories up.
No, I honestly believe they are. I think they are. Honestly, I talked about that in that film, that Obama film, about that, you know, that, what is it? We've cloned Tyrone.
Yeah.
With Jamie Foxx. Where did Jamie Foxx? He hasn't popped up again, has he?
No, he's all right now. He's fitting well. He's playing and tennis pickleball. Everyone plays. In fact, I remember when we were kids, you used to say, I said, you're coming out playing football. You go, no, do you fancy a game of pickleball?
Yeah, he hadn't resurfaced, has he? I've just thought about that.
No, well, he did do. He came on and he just looked totally different, like it was some AI sort of Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Skinnier and five shades lighter.
A Sly Fox.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom Cruise did do him in Collateral.
But... Yeah, he's never resurfaced, has he?
No. Should have forgotten about him.
But that, like them films, I think, that keep going.
Like that Will Smith slap. You know, that camp slap that he gave.
I've asked people about that recently, because Oscars have been on. Some people think it was real. It should be off your tits to think that was real.
Yeah, yeah.
Acting.
I mean, this monolith, Princess Kate and those Vogue pictures. I mean, I'm useless with spotting stuff like that, but even I could spot that were... Just absolute nonsense.
What is it? Is it just more distraction? Is it get us nuts talking about it?
I don't know. It's like Prince Charles's hands, isn't it? We're calling them sausage fingers, but have they actually been put there on purpose? You know, you start thinking that, is it a... you know, with all this Mariana Spring and the Neil Sanders and all the other stuff that's coming out now, and these people, I've changed my mind. I used to be a conspiracy theorist, but now I'm not. Because that's really what happens, isn't it? That's obviously what happens. Because of... Are they putting all this stuff out there just to confuse stuff? I've noticed there's stuff going on about, like, supplements. You know, there's people emailing me saying supplements are basically a eugenics program and stuff like this. Everything's, you know, in my view, everything's a eugenics program. Everything, from a mind point of view. Go on.
Look, I was going to say, looking at that Princess Kate thing, I mean, yeah, she's jumping in. It's odd. I don't know. Is it part of the get? Either it's crumbling from the inside, right, and they're trying to cover it up, or... They're just playing as conspiracy theorists for a game. I don't know.
Well, the big theory, we spoke about this.
That's in all the news, though, so it's not real, is it?
We spoke about this even on this phone call, mad phone calls that we have for an hour at a time. She should record one of them at some point. But yeah. Anyway, in 2020, did something leave? As in entities-wise, energy-wise.
Dave talked about that, didn't
he? Yeah, Dave talked about it. Lots of people have spoke about it. You know, we've spoke about it as well. Entities, something left, and these people just don't know what to do. and they're trying to run it themselves now and don't have a clue. Maybe they've been pre-warned that something else is coming. So you better get your shit about you.
In the news, you see a lot of spelling mistakes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I read some of these stories, right, and I struggle to read them. One, the grammar's shit.
Yeah.
Two, and they're I'm not fantastic at grammar.
They're not getting to any point, are they? They're just, it's a headline with a lot of blubber under it, which could be AI, can it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't know if these people are real, do you?
But what? But like that? I don't know. Where is she then?
Well, I mean, it's like showing them pictures, you know, where the kid's finger were missing.
Yeah.
Last summer. The one where his finger were missing, like he'd been in some sort of factory accident.
Yeah.
On a circular saw. You know, you know, it won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, what, would it one of kids have six fingers or something like that? And it's like, I mean, do they really think people aren't going to pick this? They know people are going to pick this up, aren't they?
But maybe someone's planted it on purpose to ridicule. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe someone's inside doing that. Well, do you remember that Biden one where his hand was going through a microphone and stuff?
Yeah.
What point?
No, that's real, that, Chris. That's real. Yeah, it's just that's real life. Somebody sent a video. Actually, I'm going to play this before I play this next one. Where is it now? It's only a short one. But this, I don't know when this is from. I'm presuming it's from the 80s, right?
Right.
And it's only short, so it'll stop after about 10 seconds. But let's listen to what it says.
This is BBC One.
Well, that didn't play where I wanted it to play.
Interesting, though, that you just showed. In fact, they still had the hypno stuff, didn't they, where it's spinning around, counting down, peeling away. It's still in the hypnotic music. Dun, 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 dun. I remember that one.
Yeah. I'll
it
play the
quite hypnotic, that, then.
Yeah. Why didn't they play that beginning part?
This is BBC One.
Don't know why it's not playing it. Anyway, never mind.
What was it?
It actually said, something like, let me get this bit on here. It should say at the beginning of that, first on BBC One, Prince Andrew becomes part of Jimmy Savile's dream team. I don't know why he didn't play it. That's what it should play. It should play that when that clock's going round, when he saw that clock, it should say
it's been scrapped from the universe.
I know. How's that, how does that work?
How's that possible? Anyway,
I'm going to put that on the next Matrix video that I'm that I'm just putting together when I've got a minute. Right, I'm just going to play this about population. ITV reported a poll, the largest ever poll, it says, an overwhelming majority support for a sister dying, otherwise known as murder.
ITV News has seen evidence of growing support for a change in the law on assisted dying. The campaign group Dignity in Dying conducted the largest ever survey of people's views, and it shared the results with us. And it'll increase the pressure on politicians to act. It found that 75% of people in Britain supported a change in the law on assisted suicide. And more than half said that they would consider travelling to Switzerland for an assisted death if they were terminally ill. Now, the poll also found a majority of support across all age groups and all constituencies. Those of Muslim faith are the only demographic opposed to assisted suicide. And in the first of a new series looking at the issues surrounded assisted dying, our UK editor Paul Brand heard the views of a terminal cancer patient and his close family.
Okay, Josie. I know.
Nick Brown's days are precious now, and yet he's given this one to us.
Luckily, you're very brave.
A lifetime working with horses will very soon come to an end. And Nick wants you to know it won't be the one he wishes for.
What are you doing then? Hey? They just said, unfortunately, you have tumours in your brain and you've got 3 months to live. And so that was the prognosis on December the 4th. And so really it's a case of waiting, really. My condition is going to deteriorate. There is no question. and unfortunately, I will become paralysed.
So, firstly, that lady's voice who were on that the newsreader had a problem with her voice, didn't she? Now, she either sounded upset because of what she was discussing, or she had a problem with her throat or her voice. But anyway, that's just a...
I didn't notice, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, she...
But they're doing clearly doing the hard sell on Assisted Dying, which they have been doing for quite a while now, aren't they?
I mean, that's the main news, that. That's a full-blown report. That will have cost tens of thousands of pounds to go to that stable to interview him.
And that massive poll they did. Why didn't they do a big, massive poll on jib jab damage or whatever? Why did the BBC have to do a massive poll on how many people want Assisted Dying? Something that's never existed, but now it should.
Well, now they're bringing it into, again, like what they did in 2020, selling it.
LGBTQ,
the whole thing.
Ukraine war.
Get it into your mind. Yeah, Ukraine war. I saw a video actually the other day of all these actors in America. This must have been from a few years ago, this. Robert De Niro's there saying basically that Ukraine are fighting for freedom. Must have been just after he did his Warburton's Bread and Kia Car commercial and whatever else shite he's doing now.
Don't run with Kia Cars, fair.
I never said they won't run with Kia Cars. I'm just saying an actor of his ilk, right, having to do adverts like that, I don't know. It's odd. I find it a bit strange.
Your punishment.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Humiliation, punishment for something.
Yeah. But ironically, the charity that ran the 10,000 person question air poll is called Dignity in Dying. And I thought, I'll just do a quick... It's the second time this week in some research it's come up. Because for the next... Not this one that's been released, but the next Huxley one, I'll just finish in off that script. And I was doing some work on Joanna Lumley and a charity she worked for. There were a woman in it called Zoe Wanamaker, that actress. So I looked at Zoe Wanamaker and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's got a famous nepotistic family. Oh, and funnily enough, her dad was a major Hollywood producer, et cetera, communist, who came over from America, you know, when they started grabbing communists in America in Hollywood and started and lived over here. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
McCarthy, yeah. Charles, is it?
But she's... Yeah, McCarthy. She works with or for, whatever you want to call it, the charity Dignity in Dying.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is all these actresses that think, oh, it's Zoe Wanamaker, what a great actress, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Joanna Lumley, blah, blah.
It's that woman with curly hair. You know it is if you looked her up. You'd
know, I know the name.
I can't remember what she's been in, but she's one of them actresses that's in stuff that you probably, yeah, anyway. Interestingly, it was set up in 1931. By Dr. Charles Killick, interesting name, Millard. Killick. Make this shit up if you want it to, can you? Can't make it up, can you? Like a porn actor, innit? Don Kiddick. Don Kiddick. Yeah. He was a medical officer of health for Leicester from 1901 to 1935. Can you remember when there were all them riots about the jabs in Leicester?
Around that time?
Well, it was sort of late 1800s. It was given the presidential address at the annual general meeting of the Society of Medical Officers of Health. In the address, he advocated legalization of voluntary euthanasia. So this is back in 1931, which prompted considerable debate in Britain involving doctors, clerics, and the wider public. Millard's proposal was that in the case of terminal illnesses, the law should be changed to substitute for the slow and painful death a quick and painless one. To substitute a slow and painful death for a quick and painless one. The organisation was set up in December 1935 under the name the Voluntary Euthanasia Legalisation Society. Set up by Killick. The first chairman of the board was C.J. Bond, a consultant surgeon at the Leicester Royal Infirmary. During the 19th and early 20th century, he served at the Royal Infirmary at Leicester and was a proponent of eugenics and euthanasia. In 1881, Bond was elected board member of the British Medical Association. Who else would you want Are you eugenicist and somebody who wants to euthanize people?
Yeah.
Bond,
kind
often,
machine.
Yeah, Bond often conducted genetic experiments. Yeah, Bond often conducted genetic experiments on animals in his garden and poultry yard.
All right, nice. Bond. Now, what serial killers do?
Yeah, thinks he pulls flies' wings off and spiders' legs. See him run round and round.
You make a fucking skull hat.
Yeah. Bond was also a founder member of the Sociological Society and the Eugenics Society, which Sir Julian Huxley was president of. Bond served as a lifelong chairman of the Voluntary Euthanasia Legalisation Committee. So Dr. C.J. Bond. And Dr. Killick Millard, Charles Killick Millard, was the first Honorary Secretary of the Euthanasia Legislation Society, now called Dignity in Dying. Millard was another doctor who founded the Dignity in Dying, or the Voluntary Euthanasia Society, a movement that campaigned for the legalisation of euthanasia in Great Britain. So this has been going on for quite a while, Chris. This.
Well, I mean, there is an argument for it. To be fair, isn't there? If you're screwed, and yet, but the trouble is, it's like anything, isn't it? They're not doing it for this reason. They're trying to normalise killing yourself. Mm. I don't believe they're doing it to look after...
Isn't there already a legal euthanasia? It's called suicide. What I'm trying to say is...
Yeah.
It's not... people are doing it already. I'm not saying it's good. What I'm trying to say is that you've got... On one hand, you've got the Samaritans trying to stop people doing it. And on the other hand, you've got this group saying, no, do it.
Yeah.
And also, the legislation comes from Dignity in Dying. What does that mean? You know,
well, it's interesting to change the name from the voluntary euthanasia.
Yeah.
To
but what does voluntary mean? All these words, assisted dying. What these words don't mean anything because, you question the government. Yeah, right. We're going to assist you to die. You understand? Where's it stop?
That's what I'm saying. It goes down.
Where's the line?
Goes down a dark. It's like the old death penalty argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they've 100% definitely done it. I think they should be.
But you can't. There's no 100%.
You can't because they've gone through court and court's corrupt.
You know, I always equate it to Green Mile when John Coffey sat there with them two young girls, and when them guys turn up with them guns and stuff like that. I mean, in reality, they probably shot him, but in film world, they didn't. Yeah. He arrested and put on death row, and in reality, he tried saving them.
Yeah,
and it's that theory, isn't it, that you can't ever say.
But everyone's argument about the death penalty is, but if you've got a paedophile and you're 100% sure, and da, da, da. But if they've been through the court system, you're 100% sure because the court found them guilty. But we all know that courts are corrupt.
Yes.
And if you've got money, you might get off. And if you know the right people, you might get off. And,
or if the government want you to get off, the government want a certain narrative pushing, then they'll get you off. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's open to corruption.
Ask Richard, they won't let him put his evidence into court.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. So somebody's taken him to court. He wants to protect himself.
But he can't talk.
But he can't talk about what he needs to talk about to protect himself.
Yeah. The system's corrupt. Yeah. But it's the same thing with the euthanasia argument. How does it get to a point where, you can see a point of someone's in agony and they've just had enough and they want to die. I can see that. I get it, right? But what it's open to corruption is the fact that but if we need three signatures and then you've got some old dear who's in a bad way who don't want to die.
Yeah, who's got a million quid in bank.
And a free kid's want to sign her off.
Yeah.
Go on, do it. You know what I mean? We're sick of paying for that care home.
Yeah, I want that house in Hamptons.
Yeah, get her gone.
The only difference is
they won't be on some crime programme.
There is another side to that because what they're basically saying is that... the National Health Service or the conventional medicine, we've tried everything we can to save this person, when in reality that's bollocks. Mm. Because if you've got stage five, they give you fucking cream buns. Mm. Stage four, sorry, give you cream cakes or go have a cream cake morning and with coffee and cream cakes and donuts and stuff, which is probably part of the reason. What I'm trying to say is, so the system is wrong to start with because... That's poisoning you to start with. That's putting you in that position, right? Then the thing that they're trying to cure you with is poisoning you to finish you off. And then they're saying, "Well, we fucked all that up, so we might as well just top you now."
And I bet I would hazard a guess, right? I would hazard a guess that it costs tens of thousands to suicide someone.
Is it any wonder that at this moment in time, where they're wanting to off people as quick as possible, to get them out of the way so there's no questions then about what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just my conspiratorial thoughts. But,
yeah, well, we are living through the synagogue of Satan, trying to basically murder everyone on the planet.
Because obviously Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak and that want to save everybody, because I can hear them giving Israel such a hard time. Mm. You know, Israel have got fuck all there. There's about three people live there, and Britain and America and France. Nobody's actually telling them to stop doing that, or we're going to stop the funding. So,
I was going to send you this article today, and let me just find it. But it was a girl who apparently was abducted by Hamas, right? They've got loads of photos of, you know, while she was abducted at the Oscar ceremony. And going to...
Where the fuck's Sean Penn?
I just couldn't believe I was reading it. And then she went to Elton John's famous Oscar after party. You're like, what the hell are we looking at here? And there's loads of pictures of a very attractive young lass, you know, loads of pictures of her like looking. Oh, and that's it. That was the clincher. She's got still the, hey, do you know what? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but if it did, and that's true, they're using her. But she's got she's still got the splint on her arm where she got shot.
Chris,
got shot,
I think Israeli's got killed, right? But we've got to ask ourselves the question.
Killed by who?
Who are Hamas and who did they get killed by? Exactly. Especially when you've got that. What were it called? The whatever directive, where the Israelis are the Hannibal directive, where if
they're expendable, basically.
They're expendable basically, and they obliterate the area and wipe everybody out. So we've gone into that. We know that. But anyway, on another side, just let me finish this bit off about this. In addition to supporting euthanasia, Millard had supported movements advocating for temperance, eugenics, cremation, and birth control. All the good stuff. And help found the first birth control clinic in Leicester. I don't know what that was. Maybe it was that might have been in his garden as well.
Next to chicken coop.
His poultry pen. there had been a strong opposition to compulsory smallpox vaccinations. I wonder why in Leicester for many years. I wonder why it was Leicester. And as a strong supporter of vaccinations, Millard had to work within the established framework. While still supporting vaccination, he argued against compulsory vaccination of infants and the use of mass vaccination to control outbreaks. Interesting. But he was the secretary of the euthanasia. Odd. Instead, he advocated isolation of cases and voluntary vaccination of medical nursing staff and of contacts and cases. This proved successful. It would do. And was adopted generally when compulsory vaccination was abolished. That sent me down a different road, but I don't want to get into that tonight. When compulsory vaccination was...
When was compulsory?
I think it was 1945.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. So they fought for freedom, but you had to be compulsory vaccinated.
This is the thing. I've put a few of those old... vaccination stuff on. It was Lorraine sent us one ages ago. And I googled some more. It's amazing, isn't it? The how old this story is, basically.
Yeah.
People, you know, fighting against it. Jabs. Yeah. It's amazing how old it is.
Anyway, I found something interesting, which sent me down there. So Leicester University, where all these guys worked. Yeah. Also on the board. Of the Voluntary Euthanasia Legalisation Society was a chap called Frederick Levi, interesting middle name, which I'll come to later, Attenborough.
Oh.
Yeah, born 1887, died 1973. Was an English academic and principal of University College Leicester. In 1915, he attended Emmanuel College, Cambridge. You might have seen him, Chris, having a coffee somewhere.
Yeah.
Back in the 1800s when you were walking around with your massive pork chops sideburns, lamb chop sideburns. Attenborough was principal of University College Leicester from 32 to 51 and lived with his family on campus in College House. Under Attenborough's guidance, the University College grew in size and reputation, eventually became the University of Leicester, receiving its Royal Charter in 1957.
Mental.
Yeah. The university got a new building around that in 1970 called the Attenborough Building, named after Frederick Levi Attenborough.
Is that in Cambridge, then, far?
No, that's in Leicester.
Leicester.
Mm. The building was opened in 1970. Attenborough was frail by this stage, so the building was opened on his behalf by his youngest son, John. The Attenborough building is the tallest building on the campus of the University of Leicester and houses arts and humanities departments. It was designed, I like these little offshoots, me. It was designed by Arup Associates, A-R-U-P, and was constructed between 68 and 70 with a chap by a chap called Sir Ove Nyquist Arup, CBE, who was an English engineer who co-founded Arup Group Limited, a multinational corporation that offers engineering and design, planning and project management. This is where I find it all links into this like matrix, right? This guy, Ove Arup, is considered to be among the foremost architectural structural engineers of his time. Obviously, I've never heard of him. Arup attended Sorø Academy in Denmark. I presume he's sort of from that area. A boarding school which had influences from Thomas Arnold of Rugby School. Thomas Arnold was the grandfather of Aldous Huxley, Sir Julian Huxley.
Bulldog.
Yeah. He was the, I suppose, the father in, he was the other father of
Darwin's Bulldog.
Yeah, of Darwin's Bulldog, Thomas. Anyway. Yeah, so he also built Sydney Opera House.
Right. Has some clout.
Yeah. As you could have guessed, he was the father of Richard Dickey Samuel Attenborough, or Baron Attenborough CBE, actor, film director, producer. His wife was Sheila Beryl Grant, Sim, Baroness Attenborough. She was also an English film and theatre actress. Their children were, or are, Michael John Attenborough, this is Dickie Attenborough's children. And he's also an English theatre director, recipient of two honorary doctorates from the University of Leicester, where he's a distinguished honorary fellow, and one from University of Sussex, where he's honorary professor of English and drama. Married to actress Jane Seymour in 1971. The marriage was dissolved in 1973, and he married in 1984 actress Karen Lewis. They have two sons, theatre director Tim Attenborough, born in 1986, and actor Will Attenborough. Will identifies as part of the LGBT community. And I think it was Will who I said to you before, does a lot of voiceovers or did voiceovers on video games.
Right.
Daughter of Sir Dickie, Jane Attenborough, she was killed in the tsunami in 2004 with a daughter.
Oh, God.
I know, and a mother-in-law. And she was an English arts administrator, arts manager. And then there was Charlotte Isabel. What I'm trying to get here is, all these Attenboroughs here, that's just one from one family, they're all like, this Charlotte Attenborough is a British stage and film television actress known for her appearances in Jane Eyre, Jeeves and Wooster. She married another actor called Graham Sinclair, known if he acted in Chaplin, anyway, and Emmerdale Farm and all sorts of other stuff. And Siddiqui's wife, Sheila Sim, was another television actor called Gerald Grant Sim. That reminded me of that Sir Julian Huxley where they were doing the genetics thing. Where the Phelps family, you know, rivers on the Thames for generations. And then you've got these inbreds. I forget what they were called now. But
you've also got the Dickie Attenborough, famously in Jurassic Park, selling the dinosaur story.
Yeah.
And also directed Gander, you know. Selling the Gandhi story. I think that was a story as well, to be fair. I don't really know.
Well, Gandhi wasn't a peasant, was he? As we did the gurus in the Huxley stuff.
He was educated in Cambridge or Oxford, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah. We just get there by chance.
Yeah, but your vision of Gandhi, if someone mentions him, it's a little bald Indian guy with a gown on, isn't it?
Yeah, with round glasses.
Yeah, doing nothing.
Yeah.
So, whatever that story
means. And that famous phrase where, when he came to England, he was dressed in his oil rags or whatever he's dressed in, and King said to him, do you want to put a coat on? It's chilly. And he said to him, no, you've got enough clothes on for both of us, or something like that.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, something daft like that. Yeah. Yeah, so I just found that interesting. Obviously, you've got Sir David Attenborough, and he's obviously... but what I found interesting, his son, David Attenborough's son, is Dr. Robert Attenborough. And he specialises in research. His areas of specialities and research expertise and fields of study are human population biology and human and health and human evolutionary and behavioural ecology.
Yeah, sounds innocent, but not.
He's a senior fellow at McDonald Institute for Archaeological Research. The Institute was established in 1990 through the late Dr. Daniel McLean MacDonald, was founder and chairman of Matt Sergio will like this. Founder and chairman of a company called BSR Group. They were manufacturers of record turntables and record changers.
Right.
And they did work for, should have read that they'd done work for the army in World War II and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? When you look at all these things that are funding, so he's left a dowry, I think he left £11 million to fund this little research institute David Attenborough's...
There's a David Attenborough Museum in Cambridge now.
Right.
I've talked about going there, actually. I went there to look at all the fake dinosaur bones. But that's pretty new as well. It's not that old.
Who is it? David Attenborough's and Dickie Attenborough's brother, John Attenborough, the youngest brother, was a senior executive in the motor industry. I think he was the chairman of Alfa Romeo and stuff.
They've done all right for themselves at Attenborough, haven't they?
Yeah.
they became a
financial advisor. Yeah. But it said, I've done quite a lot of looking up. I did a quite short film on David Attenborough a few years ago, and I never read anywhere that they were of a Jewish background. And there were one small line in there. Obviously, the name Levi sort of gave it away with the father. But there was one small line in one of the girls within the family and said they're from a Jewish background. Now, that I'm not, again, I would say, like most of us, 90%, 99% of all Jewish people have been screwed over like all of us have.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and look at 2020 in Israel. They were getting shafted, probably worse than anywhere.
Yeah.
I would say, one of the worst places, yeah. That Austria and places like that.
Yeah, but they've created this bullshit mythos, haven't they, of if you say anything.
It's a certain sect. It's the Zionists that persecute their own people. They don't give a shit about it.
Which, I've mentioned this before, the best description I've heard of what a Zionist is, because you struggle to define it, don't you, is a... basically, a modern Israeli fundamentalist, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, just to finish this first part, we're coming up to an hour and 12 minutes here, roll it off, there's been an inquiry going on about the Boeing, is it the 737 or something like that?
787, it says on that phone.
Is it 787? Anyway, whatever it is, there was an inquiry going on about those... it's not that plane though, Chris. They've got it wrong.
All right.
They need to do their. I think it's seven.
Need Mariner Spring to fact check.
To fact check it. 787's a Dreamliner. That's not it.
Right.
I sort of know my planes. Yeah. But yeah, it's not the Dreamliner. But anyway, this guy worked on the Dreamliner. Yeah, and I think that's why they've used the picture. But he worked for Boeing, and it's the Boeing Max that's had a lot of difficulties over the last 5-6 years. It were grounded for loads of years because they had two go down. And then one, recently, Air Alaska one, door came off.
Yeah, I remember flight. That, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And he's been talking out about it for years. It's John Barnett. And so he's been waiting as a whistleblower for years, yeah? He's retired on health grounds in 2017. Worked for Boeing for 32 years as a quality manager, yeah? And he said that all the workers have been under pressure and they were fitting substandard parts and all this type of stuff on the production line. They all knew about this internally, blah, blah, blah. And then the plane started going wrong. And he's been waiting as a whistleblower for years for this inquiry to come. And then second day inquiry or whatever it is, and he's killed himself. Or he's been found dead.
He's been suicided.
Yeah.
Shot twice in the back of the head.
Boeing said it was saddened to hear of Mr. Barnett's passing.
Yeah, but it were.
The Charleston County Coroner confirmed his death to the BBC on Monday morning. It said the 62-year-old had died from a self-inflicted wound on the 9th of March, and police were investigating.
That's horrible, isn't it? Why would he go through all that rigmarole to get him to that point? No.
I think we know why, Chris.
I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not buying that one. Yeah,
not for any dollar.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see here. Yeah, so that this is what happens to people that speak out against these massive corporations. And this I think this is a BBC article, BBC in here, right? And going back to Sanders and people like that, who was sort of like, and Mariana Spring, why wouldn't you question that? Why doesn't that sound odd?
Yeah.
Why would he wait all this time? He's been speaking out. I saw him interviewed a few weeks ago, talking out about it. He was raging.
Yeah. People are raging don't off themselves when they're at the point of where they could actually change.
Like that, there were a madam, weren't there, that I think James Corbett did the Requiem, I think they were called, a series of the suicide, Requiem of the Suicided. And he had a few people on it, one of them from the Oklahoma bombing, a policeman who obviously saw something he shouldn't have done and was shouting about it. Then he turned up, he'd been given a lead to go check this something out that somebody had rung him on the side of obviously his normal police work. And he pulled off the road in his police uniform and walked into a field and shot himself about 10 times or something like that. Yeah. Because that's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, do you remember them famous videos on the heavy days of YouTube about the Clinton murders?
Mm. Mm.
And that guy shot himself in the back and then dragged himself through a wood naked. Or,
yeah. I while we were frying an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I know. All right, then. Well, if you're joining us for part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
My life, I was a part of the